I've discussed fear of failure in a previous episode, but let's review where it comes from and what you can do to manage around it. That's this week on the Badass Agile podcast. Greetings, team. Welcome to the Badass Agile podcast. I'm your host, Chris Williams. Hey everybody, welcome back. Thank you to all of you who tune in week after week, especially to all of you who have recently joined. I'm so grateful to have you here from over 60 countries. We've got so many great fans and such a great response in the past year and in the beginning of 2019. I'm just so grateful for all of it. Thank you for being a true believer. So in this ongoing casual exploration of fear and its impact on agile work culture, it's time to have a look once again at the really big F word, failure. Let's examine how and why it shows up and how best to deal with it. But first, let's remember why we're here. To create an elite tribe of leaders who truly serve their clients and communities by doing what matters and what works, relentlessly chasing value and excellence like a badass. There's so many resources about what you need to do to be agile, but we're focused on who you need to become in order to lead teams. So let's hammer down those fundamentals to create a unique and powerful force in this industry. And if this helps you, tell your friends. Or don't. We can keep it our little secret. And hey, don't forget to check out my daily Agile Inspirations for Leaders by subscribing to my email list. You'll get a preview of next week's posts and a free video every Monday to help you align your week with strength and focus delivered right to your inbox. You can also submit your coaching or leadership questions all at badassagile.com. So go sign up and post your questions today. The fear of failure can be easily observed at every level of your organization. It surfaces in individuals, teams, units, and in the leadership. And it's so bad that some people would prefer we didn't use the word at all. Now, in a minute, we'll discuss how to identify when and where the fear surfaces. But first, let's think about its origins. Fear of failure may seem like a non-essential modern-day fear, in that it doesn't seem to fulfill a biological purpose, and yet it's a perfectly natural human instinct. People don't want to lose face or lose trust or worse, lose security in the form of their jobs, their job prospects, their opportunities for growth, or even their compensation. So the fear of failure is really a fear of being tested and proved inadequate, incapable of providing or competing perhaps. So there's a major social disadvantage to being effective or competent, and failure prevents you from being able to naturally display those traits. And if you read the news and follow the tweets and the articles, it's the incorrect mindsets rooted in fear of failure that causes so much disarray among teams and units trying to spread agile. But in practice, it's not the fear of failure that causes the problems for agile adoption. It's the actions that people take to avoid experiencing failure that causes the actual problems. And specifically, those problems are that the fear of failure creates several forms of waste and loss. Let's look at a few. Number one, fear of failure creates hesitation. Now that can show up in your teams as doubt, uncertainty, procrastination, or plain old failure to leap. Now, this directly impedes your ability to innovate and to grow, both personally and individually, and as an organization. Number two, resistance to change, which we talk about all the time. And this one is huge in leaders because organizations have to be about change or they can't survive. Now, when leaders fear this, they could be dooming their organizations to obsolescence. The third place where you see it is an individual stonewalling or even sabotage the resistance to the team by individual team members. Now, when people recede to the corners of the team room and refuse to participate in team sessions or to align to team agreements or values, to move in lockstep with the team's cadences, but instead just try to do their own thing or check out of the team room, or worse, actively derail the team's efforts or try to discredit and sabotage the agile leaders. Now, number four, and this one is really broad, but it's also the most common, overcompensating with process to gain certainty and safety. Now, you've seen this one, I'm sure of it. The extensive and complex planning that we see, the consensus building that we insist on, the fail-safes that we implement, things like protracted estimation periods and long sign-off processes, to my mind, they're all a result, a manifestation of fear of failure in your product delivery processes. The difficulty with these is that many of them result in extremely poor performance, because not only do these activities directly slow down the progress and the workflow of the team, but they have a deep negative effect on morale. Can you see it? Divisiveness, the suppressed anger, the negativity, the lack of forward energy can cause even the best teams to get frustrated, take a resigned approach to their work, or even leave the project or the firm entirely. Have you ever seen that? And this creates even more overhead and loss in the cost of replacing, retraining, or remotivating people. So how do you handle it? The antidote is in the culture that you build. Let's start with the fundamentals. Perhaps the first thing to realize is that you need to build in yourself a sense of deep empathy and spread it to others. Recognize that people are simply doing the best they can with what they've got, wherever they may be. Respect the fact that although you, maybe, no longer find agile scary and uncomfortable, and while you may be confident with experimentation and taking measured risks and controlled failure, you're simply at a different point on the path than your peers. Not better, just different. So be sympathetic to their current state and meet them where they are, as they say. And although you might feel like you shouldn't have to help them get it, guys, you do. Part of every job sucks and will have an element of I shouldn't have to do this, but you have to. So get over it and focus your knowledge and the fact that you've already conquered this fear for yourself on helping them overcome their hurdles now. That's the job of the coach. That is the job of the leader. So once you've built up that empathy, you now need to handle these fears directly and deftly. Remember first that you will never defeat fear with logic or reason. Fear is not a logical response, therefore, you can't address it with more logic. And remember too that you can never truly eliminate a fear 100%. Or at least it's going to be really difficult to do so quickly. So your best bet is to reduce the impact that the fear has on an individual, which in turn will lessen the impact that it has on the team, product, or organization. Now here's the two things I want you to remember. There's two important things that you can do to inoculate people against fear. A, you can drown out the fear with a sense of higher purpose. Create a sense of meaning or urgency. Create a sense of purpose that's more emotionally compelling or simply a higher priority than the fear itself. And B, reduce the fear by increasing exposure to the object of their fear slowly over time. Now, the best and most effective solutions will incorporate elements of both drowning out the fear with a higher purpose and reducing the fear by gently increasing exposure bit by bit. So let's look at some practical examples. We talked about hesitation, the failure to leap, the inability to go, the desire to wait until things are more ready, more certain. Here you would reduce the fear by training people, and agile games are a great way to get this done, on the value of quick decisioning and give them safety nets when their rapid experiments fail, which they will. So I like to run workshops where people have 10 minutes to brainstorm something that they might normally take hours or weeks to do. For example, what problem would you fix if you had unlimited time or budget? Or what are your three most important goals for the upcoming year? Now that's normally a 6-month strategy session. But if we can try it in 10 minutes and produce a reasonable result, people will see from experience that this is actually doable much quicker. So now you can move on to, okay, what solutions can we come up in 15 minutes? Now, solutioning is something that takes architecture being involved and all kinds of approvals, or does it? You see, once you show them a different way of doing it, much more quickly, people start to realize that they place way too much importance on perfection. And that's what causes the hesitation that's been ingrained in them from that fear of failure. Now, you further drown the fear by reminding them that the quick decisioning skills they just learned is at the heart of all innovation and competition. Simply put, while we might be used to longer evaluation cycles, hey, the current marketplace simply doesn't allow for it, and nobody wants to be the last holdout on the block. What about resistance to change? The people who don't want to do differently because of what it means to their ego, to their status, to their security. Well, here you drown the fear by connecting your organization's purpose and values to the individual's purpose and values. Figure out what they want, why they want it, who they truly serve, and then figure out a way to connect the two. I've done several episodes on this in the past, so I won't dwell on it. But when you are able to connect a sense of personal purpose to the change, now you have something that compels them to overcome their fear. And then reduce the fear by pulling people towards change. Don't push it on them. See, acceptance radically increases when the change is originated by the people who fear it most. Think about that. So that means you don't force people to change if they're not ready. You simply make the change in pockets of the organization where they are ready and allow other people to witness and, frankly, to envy the results that you're producing. And eventually, the people who resist change the most will start to come around. How about stonewalling in the team room? Here, you drown the fear once again by connecting more authentically with a person's sense of purpose, their values, but don't forget about their needs. Maybe they need to feel significant, like their contributions matter, or that their talents are special and valuable. But remind them that they also need to continue the work that they've been doing in order for the team to succeed. You then reduce the fear by creating and celebrating small victories. And then you reduce the fear by creating and celebrating small victories that are inclusive of, or here's a hack for you, strategically shine a light on those members who are struggling to move in alignment with the team and its values. And as for that ever-present process bloat, well, here again, you reduce the fear by starting with willing minds and projects that fit. So start with projects that have natural agile champions and are naturally aligned to agile principles out of the gate. These projects won't crave more certainty, longer documentation, and longer planning cycles by their nature. And by implementing those first, you'll lower risk, reduce the need for the excess process, and you're more likely to experience positive results and create buzz quickly, which will once more pull people to you with the great publicity that you generate. But you also have to drown the fear by reminding teams and leaders that one-way agility can actually increase speed and reduce cost is by eliminating the process overhead that slows us all down. Remind them that those safeguards weren't, if you look honestly at history, making us any more certain anyway. And they're one of the cheapest and fastest methods to increased efficiency, greater visibility, and greater success. Now, overall, it'll help to build a culture of embracing failure If you can demonstrate visibly the results of thinking and acting in this way. So find people who will reward it. And here's a hint. You don't need executives to approve incentive programs because you can create a recognition board and an internal reward system really easily. Celebrate successes publicly as a team. Include team members, managers, and even clients. And you don't have to make it an Employee of the Month award, but rather, each team member can, whenever they want, express gratitude for one another by posting a story or an accomplishment that they want everyone in the firm to know about on a bulletin board or a whiteboard or public space or a window. Now, most important, track your successes in an empirical way. Wherever possible, when you accumulate wins, have your client co-create a case study with you and articulate the benefits in measurable, empirical terms whenever possible. Nothing attracts success like success. So if you can tell meaningful stories within your own culture about fear-inducing challenges that turned into big wins, and you can make the methods for that success simple and repeatable, you greatly reduce the risk and fear surrounding agile ways of thinking and being. Folks, thank you for listening. You can reach out at badassagile.com or find me on Twitter @badass_agile. I'll see you next time.